Thank you. case from our AG's point of view, and that we probably would deal with in a lot more detail. But I think we find ourselves in a very interesting situation, both at national and provincial, in the sense that we've not seen a big movement in all its outcomes. I think that's perhaps something that we need to keep at the back of our minds as we start interrogating education, especially if we look to the broader sector, including the provinces. Outcomes has really not moved forward when it talks about financial management. We've had a couple forward, a couple backwards, but essentially the situation is the same as the previous year. The interesting thing, and Honourable Chair, I'm reminded of the comments that you made before the meeting of education's ability to realistically report on its performance against predetermined objectives. I think generally speaking, and especially the national departments, we've seen a slight forward movement with people coping quite well with performance reports. Now remember that from the AG's point of view, we do not comment on that achievement. That's really sort of understepping the line from our point of view. We talk about the underlying system. Will the system produce complete, valid, accurate information? And generally speaking, at national level, we've seen a forward movement with that. You'll find that there's a couple of big departments that achieve, most notably, if we're talking in the area of people management, perhaps EPSA has moved to a point where their performance reporting is starting to get accurate. Public Service Commission, that's that's moved forward. The other area that we also cover compliance, I think, again, is a situation where we've seen slight movements forward, but also drop back. So overall picture that's not really moving forward. The interesting one, and again, I think it's something that this committee has dealt with before in the context of education, is when it comes to supply chain management. I think we're starting to see a situation where the response from all of these, from departments, is a lot more intense. And quite simply, if you allow me a light a moment, I think the debate around what needs to be interrogated is a lot more intense. And I think in a couple of instances, you see that we've got situations where the expenditure is sort of dropping down. Either because the disciplines around that got better, or a situation where internal audit is playing a very proactive role. So that's the overall sort of picture that we see in the recent PFMA cycle, just before we get stuck in the actual presentation. If you have a look on page 3 of this presentation, you see the outline of what we intend dealing with today. A brief summary of what the outcomes are about. We'll deal with basic education, but we'll also deal with all the entities that's involved. I'll try and give you detail on all the areas that I've just outlined. The important part, you remember that a lot of what we report in our annual general report is about commitment. What's the commitment made by the education senior management going forward? How do they intend addressing certain of these issues? So we'll give you a progress report in that regard. Number 3 is probably a difficult one, but it's I think we've used the word recommended commitment. Maybe we need to use a softer term perhaps then. But these are the things that we think require attention if we need to take the next logical step and improve. So this is our sort of initial field around what needs attention so that we can lift to the next level. Talk about key focus areas. Within key focus areas, the important part that we really want to deal with is underlying controls. A reflection of how all the departments are doing in the 3 areas that we normally highlight: leadership, financial performance management, as well as governance. Other matters of interest, number 5, it deals with that old controversial item of irregular expenditure and focus notes. Expenditure, to give you some insights around that. Number 6, sector audit outcome and focus areas. At the moment, the sector report for education has not been completed. We're still waiting for a lot of information from provincial level to fall through in. Yes, thank you. I think we're still waiting for a lot of provincial information to fall through into our sector report, so that would probably be something that we would need to flag for a little bit later. But Honourable Chair, I think we will share with you the areas that we looked at. I think it's something that we also always appreciate from any other committee is their insight in the areas that perhaps should be priority going forward. It's very useful to have that in our work plan going forward. And then number 6 and 7 is really a wrap-up slide, but it's a slide that you will recognize in this year's general report and any presentations that our audit general will be talking about. It's what we call a pyramid of accountability, and it really gives you a structured way to ask questions to a department to interrogate any results. It gives you you a structure of what should be in place, ideally to produce critical information, gives you the basis to do the building block, etc. That ends up with a combined level of assurance. Yes, auditor general can give a level of assurance, but at any level in the process, there should actually be assurance created, which is some insights around that. So that's a broad overview of what we're going to be dealing with today. If we get stuck in the details on slide 4, you'll see the first of our analysis on what's come out of the audit reports. You'll see the previous year, 2010-11, on your left, and you'll see the current year, 2011-12, on your right. And just as an overview, if you look at that slide without getting stuck in the detail, you'll find that there's a lot of yellow in there, and you'll find that there is a lot of arrows that stay on the same level, it's not going up or down. I don't know, Lucy's got, unfortunately, a couple of exceptions. I think it says two things to us. First of all, the situation has not necessarily moved incrementally forward. There may have been the odd success here or there, but essentially we're dealing with a situation that's remained the same from last year. We'll see some of the details as we go forward. There's also a message in the yellow. I think if we had a green color there, we'd say we've stabilized at something that is really acceptable, and everything is solid, and we would expect unqualified views as a matter of normal discipline. The yellow is a reflection on the fact that things are in progress. Let me qualify that a little bit more. Things are in progress to the extent where we can start touching the chain. It's not a question of saying we've heard a director general or a senior manager or a DDG or member of the executive say what their intentions are. It's a little bit more than that. The yellow would be things are in progress and we can start seeing the change. We can start touching the change. So yes, there is forward progress, but not to the extent we're settled in a nice, stable environment. I think about basic education over the last 2 years. I think we really need to describe that in the period after splitting from the original big part of education, when higher education went their own way and basic education went their own way, as a department in growth. Some of the members around the table may remember that we previously reflected on the fact that staffing needs some attention. Not all positions filled to deal with the full scope of. I think it's a situation that will prevail. We also reflect on the fact that when it comes to policies and procedures, we've started off with something that we inherited from the old Department of Education, that we need to create something that is far more specific to the basic education environment, far more appropriate. I think that still remains work in progress at the moment. So if you look at basic education, we're still in a situation when we talk about financial statements that is unqualified but with findings. In other words, there's reflections on both predetermined objectives and compliance. The predetermined objectives, the service delivery reporting, or the performance against predetermined objectives, you'll see that if we had to express a view on that, that probably sits in the category of adversity. In other words, it does not produce the results complete and accurate. The system at the moment, from the point of view of us auditing whether the system produces complete, valid and accurate information is not where it should be. It can definitely improve. Please see this against the light of perhaps a general trend at national, where I think departments have started coping pretty well with it, and a lot of them actually achieved the point of getting accurate and complete information. I think the arguments that we've heard in previous years of guidance not being in place, of issues being unclear, I think that obviously is going to fall away. It's really now a responsibility on departments to really move in this area. A lot of departments have shown that they can indeed move. When it gets to compliance issues, again, a couple of reporting items, a couple of critical ones, but we will expand on that later on. It deals with expenditure management. There's a couple of issues around financial performance management, natural management in there. I think a critical one to have a look at in the audit report is the fact that under compliance issues, we do reflect on frustrations around supply chain and it's underlying in a lot of what we currently see as critical. of compliance, also quite clean. It's a fairly positive space. The one on the slide 5, the Labor Relations Council, there's quite a lot of issues that sit under compliance. And again, it touches on the typical issues that this committee has dealt with before. So that's a broad overview of what's happening at the department in terms of outcomes. Perhaps slightly more close to the point of the people that this committee must be interacting with is the analysis that we have on slide 6. I think the committee would be used to the situation of where we look at the underlying controls, the things that lead to some of the frustrations that we see in the audit report. A report on that in the areas of leadership, financial and performance management, and governance. Overall, we see a situation where there has been progress, in other words, yellow progress to the extent that we can start seeing the change, but still not in a situation where things have stabilized to the extent that we are pretty happy with it. Again, I'm going to see a notable exception, and that red arrow that's going downwards that shows a regression reflects on the fact that they had that basic administrative hiccup around the performance information. So overall, if I need to describe it from our point of view, we interact with the department on a quarterly basis where we share some of our insights, where we look at basic controls. The yellow indicator there would be an indication that we find a very constructive engagement, we find people that's open for the discussion, we find people on the other side that is committed to start attending to internal controls, it's translated to the point where we see forward movement, but it's not yet reached the end goal. It's not yet at a point where we've got the ideal control environment, and we're staying like we know from year to year that we can expect something solid. From an audit point of view, it probably just reflects on the fact that we expect that there may be hiccups during the process. You'll see it later on when we talk about issues such as material misstatements. You know, there's always a big question if you get to an unqualified audit opinion. How much work does it get that go into the department getting clean or unqualified view of it? And then a lot of times, the audit process allows for it. When you identify certain areas, they can go address certain ones. Those material statements still sit at quite a high level, and it's indicative of the environment that's sitting in this yellow color. Working on control environment that's not stabilized, and we know that there's assurance throughout the year. Key focus area, this gets a little bit more specific on slide, I think I'm numbering these rows, sort of 13 at the bottom of the page. This is quite a different picture. It deals with how well they responded to. How well they've responded in certain areas. When we talk about the department, first of all, in the area of supply chain management, you'll see some improvement, but by no means ideal. I think the important thing to reflect back on when you deal with supply chain management is to look at the compliance issues that you took in the audit report. That is a situation that's not necessarily ideal. But for you to deal with this slide on regular expenditure, and you can expand a little bit on the underlying issues that's in the report. Performance information, we believe that there's not been any improvement. HR methods, it looks slightly better than in previous years. IT controls looks better, but when you get to errors that had to be corrected during the audit process when financial statements were submitted, no improvement. Again, I think perhaps expand further on that last one. The fact that during the audit process we still pick up issues around financial information that need to be corrected after year end probably implies that when we look at information during the course of the year, there's a good chance that we may be making decisions on information that is not correct. For us, material misstatements corrected at the end of the period during the audit process is quite a big indicator of what can potentially go wrong in a year. Honourable Chair, you'll be very aware of the fact that there's been a big drive throughout government to get departments to report regularly, to really do monthly financial statements. And I think we've seen a situation in the last year where that routine has become a lot better. Probably the majority of departments, national departments at least, can boast the fact that they are indeed reporting on a monthly basis. And I think we need to start asking the next question. And that is, what's the credibility of what's reporting? What's being reported on a monthly basis? this little red that we've got on the top right hand corner of that table, we believe that the credibility may not actually be at a point where we want to see it. We need to ask questions about the credibility of that monthly reporting. We need to ask questions about whether there's action taken on what is shown as wrong during that period. And we also need to talk about how comprehensive that reporting is. What typically happens when a department would report monthly is that they would deal with the basis of the income statement and balance sheet, but when it gets to disclosure, and that's normally where a lot of the problems sit. That's where commitments would sit, the payments that need to happen in the future, etc. Those things do not always get reflected in the monthly statement. That's the things that can share out at the end. So, by all means, let's give this department and others at national level the credit that they're getting better at monthly reporting. They're getting closer to a very regularized regime. But I think we still need to ask questions about how accurate the information is that they see on a monthly basis. If I can ask the committee to just remember that when we get to the end of the presentation and we talk about this whole credibility process, I'll refer to this point again. It is really a routine of people at all levels making sure that they deal with the credibility of information to the point where they're prepared to and they're proud of signing off what they've done. There's no use if there's information prepared, but nobody is prepared to take responsibility for it. So if you have a basic administrative clerk in the financial division, are they prepared to sign off on the credibility of? Would the CFO be prepared to sign off on the credibility of what's presented on a monthly basis? And would the DG be prepared to sign off on that? And are we in a position that if there's a failure within the field, then we can't take action? So that requires a lot of attention to that and fostering the level. You look at Malusi, lots of dreams when we talk about these order focus areas, except for AFPO, where they've slipped back. I repeat again, administrative in nature, it's something that ideally I think could have been prevented if there wasn't just the right attention to. SACE, green throughout, very positive spin, labor relations council, supply chain management, you can really see movement. Performance reporting, definitely a bit of improvement, and zero errors again at the end. So the monthly reporting is happening, but it's not an ideal possible way. I've promised all along that Godfrey will deal a little bit with the detail. Honourable Chair, based on your guidance, I think the next slide is particularly important, the one that deals with the regular expenditure and proving the wasteful expenditure. But please, I'll hand over to you for that section.
Thank you. We noticed an improvement on the regular expenditure with the trade error case in Naoma, but we are still not completely happy. Qualitatively, it is material. We should not be carrying the regular expenditure, even now the amount went down compared to the prior year. I just want to spend a minute explaining where the regular expenditure is coming from on basic education. The 74 million regular expenditure incurred by the department was as a result of the service provider appointed by the department on the management of the curriculum program, not following government regulations on supervision management. So basically what happened here, it did not emanate from the process where the department is expending funds itself. The funds were transferred to the service provider and the service provider to people to come in and assist them. That's where the regular expenditure came from. And what informs the regular expenditure here was the fact is that the contract that was entered into with this particular service provider by the old Department of Education did not enable that service provider to comply with the government regulations. Basically, the contract was saying they will go and source all the services they need and then use their own processes. However, Treasury is very specific on what needs to be followed when you expend on public resources, when you spend government funds. The process of procurement needs to be public and transparent, and we cannot just procure and follow government regulations, and that informs the 74 million. Even the 81.7 million that was reported last year was from the same process. However, the reason that the department incurred the 74 million without the committee that they will be engaging the service provider to ensure that in the 11th year they can just
money
is inclusive to turn on the public necessity. The government must have find a way of accessing you, just to make sure that our records are accurate, complete, and correct. And shouldn't be something that the government or our departments are making on the body for to identify these things and make sure that let us quickly update our records on this. If it's not for the audit effort, these things are not detected, that will make sure that adjustment happens. The enforcement of compliance with government procurement regulations by the service provider that has the project. I spoke to this, that's why we have it on the yellow. We know that the department did engage the service provider, but the timing was a bit off for the department. At the point the department engaged with the service provider, it had already extended funds, and that's what caused the expenditure. But going forward, as I indicated, we do not anticipate that we will be doing the regular expenditure. The department also committed on the following slide to apply significant control deficiencies at the national department that we reported to the national department on the sector focus area. Here we speak into the issue of learner transport scheme, school nutrition programs, learner support material, education infrastructure, and disability education. Last year we presented to the committee our slide on the sector report where significant deficiencies were brought to the attention of the committee. This was discussed with the executive, the operating office, and the leadership of the department. Your commitment to me that this should not be happening, and the department will engage the provinces to make sure that our recommendations are implemented. We are still working on the sector report, but the findings coming out are already reflecting we have not moved any with the department in addressing the control deficiency. And again, the leadership information is required to make sure that going forward, these things are not necessary clearly. And these issues are specifically talking to service delivery area, and there's a lot of funds and the resources that the government is injecting into the service delivery area. But with the type of findings that are coming out, is that a concern that is there any negligence in the spending of these funds or what is pretending to be happening? Again, the leadership intention is required to address the deficiencies. Umarusi chain will recall that last year they had all things. Everything was going well except for a request on supplement information. They committed last year that they will sustain the good financial administration and performance management processes. It was purely an administrative matter they said that they were seeking in this unfortunate position, but going forward I do not anticipate that there would be having consent with the management of their performance information. Education Labor Relations Council, they committed also to address deficiencies around the area of preparation of financial statements, monthly reconciliations performed, revenue management. You will recall last year that the audit report was issued late because we wanted to afford them an opportunity to correct material misstatements that are on the financial statements. We issued our report on the 31st of July last year, required by the KPMG. They would have probably said on the 18th amount of partners' opinions, but we afforded them an opportunity to correct the financial statements. This year again, we see that if it wasn't for the audit report, financial statements would have been probably materially misstated. This is something that they need to be looking at to make sure that they address the audit recommendations and not only the quick fix, but sustained solutions to the problem to ensure that the findings do not repeat. Moving then to Education Labor Relations Council, the commitment to address findings on performance management. Even though they are not sitting on a rate on performance at the procurement objective, we afforded them an opportunity to correct material statements on the annual performance objective. It was not for the audit effort. It is the audit view that the annual performance report would have been materially misstated. As part of the audit process, we do allow them to take corrective action. On the stage, since they are doing pretty well, they had a challenge last year with performance information. They say there were issues that were identified, there were, but they were not so significant. But we are saying it shouldn't be an audit effort to carry out management responsibilities. If we have those that are charged with that responsibility for carbon, they need to do what they are prepared for and make sure that there is accurate and credible that are working at all times. I'll move then to the next slide, where we have a recommended commitment for clean administration, and we have the entire basic education portfolio here. The first issue that is critical is the monitoring of compliance with policies and procedures and take decisive action for non-compliance. Yes, we are reporting this regular expenditure, non-compliance, audit effort, assisting management to take to make sure that reporting on both financial and annual performance report is accurate and complete. But what actions are taken by the leadership to make sure that we do not bank on the audit effort to ensure that these issues are addressed? The risk we are running is to audit on a sample basis. If I do not take it out, what assurance do we have as a committee or any other personnel as management that whatever we reported financially and on the annual performance report is complete and accurate, it has been the information is credible. So there is a lot of different in terms of audit reports around this area as well. Compared with scrutiny and treasure regulation, we cannot get this wrong. Including the rocket science, we just need to be informed, read treasure regulation, read the scrutiny, attend public courses as issued by treasure around the areas of supply chain management, framework for managing program performance information. This is an area where we also see that all entities need to be focusing on to make sure that, you know, we are always in compliance with necessary rules and regulations. As the national department, we work that with the department needs to identify and monitor strengths and weaknesses of the portfolio within the sector. And this needs to be done in such that the decisions that are taken as a solution are not quick identified. It needs to be processes that will be put in place to make sure that these clean audit outcomes are sustained, not to brush away the audit as a working fixing it now we move forward, because next day if you don't work on processes that will sustain in administration, the audit will identify these issues again and we are not moving forward as entities and departments. We also need to be looking at the developing of the checks and balances to ensure the credibility of information at all times. Quality assurance is very important in all spheres of government to make sure that the information recorded is credible. If we do not keep it as auditor, it might go wrong and incorrect decisions might be taken throughout the year by management. That then indicates that we come at the end, corrections have been kept at the end, but what other decisions were taken throughout the year on information that was not credible and reliable. Monthly financial performance report, including disclosure items. This is the biggest concern, particularly for the department and also the education level education concern. What we are proposing here is that we need to remove it from the culture where we prepare regular financial statements, including the disclosure notes, on a monthly basis. At any given point when I ask what are the actuals, the department needs to be saying, this is what you committed as the department, and this is what we haven't paid, these are the services rendered, and this is what, these are the actuals. We are sitting in a position where For our department particularly, when you ask commitment, the department will not tell you what are the commitments at month end. Some exercise needs to be done with some individuals need to be consulted and a schedule put together and say, this is our process and this is only happening at the end. The same applies to the commitment, the same applies to other discussions I spoke about before in the region as well, where at the end when we identify these transactions not recorded in the result system, Subsequently affecting the other disclosure from the financial statement, the advantages of the letters to catch up the financial statement. But we cannot be controlling a culture. We audit on a sample basis, and when we identify these findings, we say to the department, revisit the entire proposition and ensure that you correct any deficiencies or shortcomings on the entire proposition. So there is always a risk that the audit must not pick it up, but the rules that are picking up are significantly material. In line with best practices, update supply chain management policies. The department is uncomfortable that after being in an unfortunate situation that, you know, the Karagule program management is in the content for them. But they are moving towards that direction. We saw a number of policies from the department being revised, etc., adopted from the whole Department of Education. And we are comfortable that going forward, the department is really moving towards a good direction. But we just need to ensure that our department, the leadership of the department, is closely monitoring this and making sure that there is zero tolerance for non-compliance with the policy. Those are important government tools, and they need to be adhered to at all times in all levels of management. The Education Labor Relations Council, as well, we numerously recommended that they look at their procurement processes. They also need to employ someone who's dedicated and very good up in the area of procurement and make sure that they do not incur such a risk expenditure. For airside and budget, it is very significant that they incur such a risk expenditure. The other area of concern is internal audit, effective utilization of internal audit. Our three entities in the basic education portfolio once have their own internal audit unit. The internal audit function is outsourced to private audit firms. And we are saying, in most cases where there is change of auditors, that is necessary. No continuity, perhaps we need to consider getting someone who will be responsible for the internal audit function, and these guys that are sourced for the internal audit function can be reporting or working closely with this person to ensure continuity. Because every time a new audit firm comes, they start from the startup person and reinforce the board. The department's internal audit function is not adequately resourced, and most of the issues that we are identifying through our audit efforts are issues that we believe internal audit should have played a major role in addressing. It is evident from the material statements that are reported on the financial statement that those financial statements were not quality reviewed, no assurance was provided or internal audit on that. The adequacy of the systems and processes in place in preparation of both the annual performance report for annual report financial statements is an area that needs to be closely looked at by internal audit. And also, performance audit, audit of performance information and compliance with laws and regulations, something that internal audit needs to factor into their annual audit plan and make sure that we extensively address the area of compliance, not only with PFMD and trade regulations, and with other and everything legislation that is relevant to the department. And then I will move to the next slide. The training program incorporating understanding of why financial statements are prepared is an area that needs to be closely looked at by all entities, particularly the department and the Education Labor Relations Council. The analysis of financial statements, decisions are taken on information that could probably be incorrect. Understanding why key controls are essential. We are now in the process of handing over our review of the key control status to the internal audit unit. So the internal audit, at any given point, we need to be looking at this and provide feedback to the leadership of the entity and the department on how they are doing on their key control. Currently, we've been doing this and engaging the leadership and the executive, but there's totally the things that we have with them now. These entities need to be running with this process. Understanding of why service delivery reporting is critical. The importance of making sure that there are no material misstatements on the annual performance report. These entities are open for the department and they spend funds on the basis of their strategic plan. Therefore, we cannot get the reporting wrong. We need to take our reporting seriously. Continuous professional and skills development for all staff and monitoring them. I indicated that in most cases, what gave rise to this was the issues of skills, particularly around the area of reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. This is an area that we need to be investing to make sure that, you know, this is a good path for our administration. Also, the potential reinforcement of the administration processes by accounting officers and accounting authorities. Accounting officers need to be enforcing a following up, making sure that the commitments that they are making towards the clean administration are effectively implemented. It's not something that we put on a document that says this is what we commit to and we forget about it. We can go to that on the next audit cycle. It's something that we need to follow up. If they need a right to do spot check, let us do that. We believe that, you know, the staff at senior management level, the National Department of Education, this excludes the three entities of education. We see that the learning colleges, we spend over 170 billion, that's good to 200 billion, including grants on the education sector, and this tells you the financial administration how they over 170 billion are spent on the education sector. We think last year, on the 2010 level, they got a qualified opinion. If they progress to a financially unqualified but still with funding, so it is at least one step. But look at the two red arrows. Eastern Cape are still sitting in a position where they are sitting at a disclaimer. Even though the yellow is red, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is just a disclaimer. The column on orbit outcomes tells you what the opinion was. Western Cape, unfortunately, they regret. They announced it from an academic opinion, moving from financially unqualified to findings, and the book joined the Eastern Cape League of a disclaimer. So basically, there was one progress in the sector on Free State and two steps back on Limpopo and Western Cape. And the rest are still the same. There is not progress as such. And what concern is the fact that they are not really audit outcomes in the education sector. Our definition of clean audit report is an unqualified report with no findings reported at all, with no findings on predetermined objectives. And that is not happening on the education sector. So this is an area that the government needs to look at the processes in place and take decisions to say, are people held accountable for these good outcomes, and if people are held accountable, what actions are taken to address the situation. We are available from the audit perspective to assist where we can make recommendations that are implementable. The entities make commitments to address the audit outcomes, and we are not moving anywhere within the sector. Moving then to the next slide are the focus areas that the National Department of Education, when we reported the audit outcomes of this, they promised that and committed that they will address the control deficiencies with the affected provinces. Yes, some provinces that challenges that we know of, the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, where the cabinet had to intervene with the implementation of Section 103 of the Constitution. But we are saying these findings are not only from the two provinces with this claim, that in all provinces, and something needs to be happening. We look at these certain areas, and it is really a concern, particularly the education infrastructure. This is something that the government needs to be looking at, to look at the current processes of infrastructure, the underspending on infrastructure, the procurement processes around the area of infrastructure, and basic services, service delivery areas on concrete infrastructure, looking at issues of sanitation, water and electricity, not only a construction project. Now, if we can't get it right in all these fundamental areas of infrastructure, what are we saying? That's how the funds we are rejecting. Understand that on the ICT project, the spending was a bit low, but there are still challenges on the processes around the infrastructure area. Because unfortunately, as the Nigerian indicated, we are not yet done with the sector report, but once we complete our sector report, we commit to come and present it to the committee. Let me hand over to Jan to proceed with the presentation.
Well, there's two slides left in the presentation, and it's really two models that I was a journalist has been using in the recent months to try and explain some of the underlying issues that's faced by the government. The first one is called the name of a pyramid of accountability, and this pyramid is based on the premise that you need to have certain things at the that's when we start asking the people to stick to the normal financial management routines, and we need to do monthly reporting. Again, I want to remind the committee that we've seen quite a big problem throughout the sector when it gets to monthly reporting. Probably getting the routine right and that motion of reporting monthly, but we need to ask serious questions about how much that information is. Once we've got that blue layer at the bottom, the foundation in place, then we can start arguing about how well management is doing with it, whether leadership is in fact accountable, whether internal audit plays their role, whether the audit committee are realistically enabled to deal with matters. And once that's done, we can really only elevate to the level of portfolio committees, scope-wise, legislatures, parliament, etc. I think it is really a pyramid that's starting to say that I suppose that these are a very interesting slant on performance management. It really says that we need to get everybody to be committed on the same goal. Everybody's got to understand where they fit into this picture, why they need to do certain things. Okay, you had a specific comment there that in terms of training, people need to understand why financial statements are so important. If there's not that basic understanding at a bottom level within the organization, chances are that things are going to start spiraling out of control. And it really asks of people to also commit to these different levels. We should be in a situation where on that bottom blue layer, the CFO and the Director General, any senior manager within the department, should be able at even a given point in time be able to comment credibly on the credibility of what's happening in that department. We've recently heard our Director General speak at municipal level. He went as far as saying to municipal managers, can you at the end of the day create the city, phone the mayor and confirm that what happened today in the municipality is indeed critical. And it's the same principle that sits here. So this gives you the building block and gives you from the foundational stage to where it needs to go. If you think about Parliament, a legislature that needs to take policy decisions around certain educational matters, there's a massive lot of work that needs to build up to that point. And at the moment we see question marks around some of the building blocks that's going there. You find a slightly different representation of that in the very last slide that we produced for you. This time it's from the left to the right. What we're trying to create here, without getting too caught up in the detail of potentially sits in the slide, is to talk about the elements that build up to assurance. We tend to think about assurance, if we talk, as people like the internal audit function, the external audit function. But that's really the gatekeeper at the end of the day. It's probably far more of a reactive approach than the rest. What you see spelled out there in the orange, the blue, the green, and the purple are all the players in this credibility game. And if we've got failures in the first orange box, chances that the rest of these assurance blocks can be affected probably is fairly remote. So we, again, if we look at assurance, if we need to step back and say, is the credible setup, we need to have confirmation that skills are in place, systems are in place, understanding the roles are in place. We need to be sure that senior management is playing their role. We need to be sure that the DC can play his or her role, and that the minister or the MECs with the corporate provincially can play their role. But they also assume that any reflection on them is as good as the controls that sit to the left. Once we're there, we talk about audit committees, regulatory institutions of whatever kind, whether it is treasuries, whether it is the national department intervening at provincial level, and we also talk about oversight bodies that can potentially add to the credibility of, and then right at the end, internal audit and external audit. You'll see at the bottom we've got a whole host of red blocks that refer to each of these. Probably a very hard rating, but let me try and bring some context to that. We're saying that if we look at the sector per se, we're not entirely sure that the things under the fundamental foundation, those things in orange, are in place, and that compromises the credibility and the effectiveness of what happens beyond that. And I think it's something that we would urge the committee to look at when we deal with things like supply chain management, like lower than acceptable performance, like underspending, like compliance issues, is to really try and refer back to where the credibility, where the assurance should come from. And at the moment, I think our analysis seems to indicate that it still comes from the basic building blocks of fuel. This time around, defined in the form of I think embedded internal control. While we give it department credit for moving forward, not ideally, and a full blown understanding of why we do certain things, especially in the area of performance management. These things need to translate to regular reporting, and then we should have a basis for the rest of things to be quite effective, quite focused, and we should see the right momentum towards clean audit. Thank you, Chair.
I'd like to thank the Mr. Chiendra for the success. When a person is graduated for, that's very good. Because quite a number of these issues that you are raising, we as a committee have to do. Because when it comes to equality, there are certain things that are not in this. And then the changes that should be made. Because we have noticed when it comes to higher education, they are running when it comes to the new, you know, the world. But with education, basic education is for strong. And we were wondering if the department in the way of education concentrated more on basic education than higher education. Then when it comes to internal controls, that's enough. When it comes to, you know, certain systems that they have in place, it's like a HR policy. A person can see, you know, thousands of them. They can do one in place. Even the skills strategy, you know, that they have in place. And even when it comes to financial reporting, we know that because they had a workshop with them. And we could pick it up when it comes to the provinces and international, the way they report to us. So we feel that this is quite good. And if I don't think we're keeping to the recommendations and even our recommendations. But when it comes to this report, I'd like to open a clarification. Because I think it's very important for our members to be clarified to go into the future of our article. And besides clarification, if there are questions that you'd like to ask the AG, you may do it. Any questions from our members? Let's start with Andre Mastella. Andre Honourable Smile, Honourable Sharma, and Honourable Lassley. Then Abnam and Oyasmithy Shepherd, Honourable Natisha, Honourable Lassmore, and then I'll come to Honourable Nishishi, and then to Honourable Dina, in that order. Thank you. I think the only people that are out to the ground, not ground, will be locked under the kitchen on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. based on the slides 11 and 12, slide 17 and slide 18. But before I go there, Chair, in the report, in this book of the AG, there is quite significant indication of understanding, and it is not picked up in this presentation. So I would like to know what is the significance of that under-expenditure, and what is your view on that? Or when you say we must look at maybe another slide, it is implicated in that slide and not explicitly indicated. Yeah. Because under-expenditure really is serious, and we just worried about the opportunity cost. If 1.17 billion is not spent, we could have done a lot of other things for the children with that kind of money. Chair, then, as I indicated, the important slide for me is slide 50, and slide 11 and 12, and then slide 18 on accountability. I mean, slide 17 on accountability and slide 18 on assurance. But let's start with the critical one, that one that's still on the screen, the red one. The color red is overwhelming. I mean, it actually tells us there's a crisis in education. Now, Chairperson, I know that there has been an indication by both of the presenters to say that the department depends too much on the Auditor General to show out the shortcomings, and they do not do their thing throughout. It was said by the Godfrey and by Young. And looking at the red check, almost we invested 200 billion, almost 200 billion in the education. And the value for money is the color red. So that, Chairperson, I would then say it's for us. That's now bringing in the accountability model. Slide 17. Then for us, we must also then, as a portfolio committee, say that in that model, we need to up our game. But then, Chair, I mean, meeting after meeting, I'm not saying here that I'm trying to get us off the hook, but meeting after meeting, we continue to say the same thing. They commit, as you see, and they don't do it the next time. So I don't know what kind of new oversight mechanisms must be had. We've got to up our game, or maybe I should go home. Chairperson, then the other one with regard to my question then, what is it that you can recommend to us as the portfolio? I've already indicated we must up our game. Maybe you can tell us. Chairperson, you've indicated I must round up. Let me stop there. Honorable Mr.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question on clarity, second person, on page 14, and that's sort of 74.8 million of year-end expenditure. Because that is clear that this was as a result of service provider not following the correct procedure and information. And my question is, the service provider is employed, is contracted by the department. Does it mean that the department itself who should lay down the procedure and the correct regulation wasn't aware of the both procedures and the regulations?
he is not an accounting officer for these provinces. But the picture is not very good. My question is, who has the authority can have, who then must monitor this guy in the province? If national says not accounting officer, yet they have to implement sometimes the money from national. And my last question would be on the chair will rule me out of order if the question is this about what has been happening in the form the implications of financial implications for them when it comes to contracted body that was supposed to supply textbooks in that province, that solution. What are your views on that one? As far as Auditor General's views on that one. Thank you.
I'm not going to read it out of school yet, but I'll allow the AG office if they want to speak about it in the future. Because it's an extra ongoing matter. And they came off the board. And they say when it comes to provinces, we'll do provinces in our athletics. But I will speak to them. Honorable Natasha.
Okay, thank you. Permit me to say, in my own opinion, there is some bit of contradiction in what the reporters here have done. Is it done? Okay. When you're open, you showed that everything was okay, and so on and so on. Something which you basically contradicted at the end, right? Then of course there were challenges, etc., etc. Okay. And that was again contradicted, if I were to quote exactly what Godfrey has said. To quote exactly what he said, he said, what do we say about funds we are injecting but without any movement forward? Right? So, which, again, in my own opinion, indicates that there are very serious problems, and which again says, Chair, he agrees with the a part where Jan actually contradicted himself. That is what when you start, okay, there may be qualifications, etc., etc., but then these are not problems. Okay, that's fine. That answer each chair has got to be clarified. Now, my question is, you talk about 74 million spent irregularly to pay an old education department. Which old department is that? I mean, democracy, we have been here for 18 years. I think this needs to be clarified.
I'm speaking to when the department was one on higher education and basic education.
Okay. I got it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, I got it there. Thank you very much. It's 1 million regular expenditure. Okay. I think the 74 then I have. Now, the irregular expenditure of 81, because one has not been able to get any clarity there. I therefore say that I have this kind of two know, but there are very serious problems there, okay? And indeed, as they said, through your chair, we shall deal with those when that particular time comes. But then, if you can be clarified, but we then will be able to follow.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my apologies for coming late. I'm 2 in this morning. So I've obviously missed quite a bit of your presentation, and I might well ask questions that you have actually covered. I hope not too much. Chair, on slide 10, there's reference made to prior year. I'm using slide 10 because I can't find any chance to link my question to. There's reference made to prior year commitments, and there's no indication that DDE needs necessarily or is to do anything or is affected in any way. But it is a commitment to address shortcomings relating to the management of performance against predetermined objectives. Now, one of the findings of the AG's office was that the Department of Basic Education achieved, and I understand this goes back to the previous year, but achieved only 47% of its targets, which is extremely low. So that in itself is very concerning. What is also concerning, and I'm very interested in hearing what the AG says, is that many of those targets are so shamefully low that they should never have been accepted in the first place. And here, one example is that the percentage of schools that find the service delivery, it's just an example, find the service delivery offered by district officers should equate to 30%. 30% of schools should find district officers satisfactory. The actual percentage was 37. So we pick it up when we say it's huge. It's shamefully low. There are other targets that were set that could not be measured, like the level of democracy that prevails in an SGB. You can't measure it. And there were other targets that there were different measurement systems, and just as an example, it's quite ridiculous, but the number or percentage of schools that have libraries, the baseline was 80%, the actual achieved was 40-odd%. So the measurement tools are different, but so it becomes meaningless. Surely the AG is looking at performance. The starting point must be with the annual performance plan and the actual targets that are set there and the acceptance of targets. Number one, that are shamefully low. Number two, that can't be measured because there are no measuring tools. And number three, that are so vague, like the level of democracy in the school governing body, that they will never be measured. So I'm very interested in your comments on that. Chair, on slide 7, sorry, my slide was stuck in the stack here. Slide 7 is headed further analysis on DBE key controls classified as causing concern, and there's leadership, financial, and performance management and governance. And I don't see any red on that slide. There's only green and yellow. So, firstly, there's no red meaning intervention required. Okay, so if I were just to look at that slide, I would think that intervention is not required in DBE key controls with respect to leadership, financial and management, performance management, and governance. Now, how does that tie up with slide 18, which tells me that intervention is required at almost every level of management? In fact, the only place where intervention is not required with respect to DBE is external audit. So I don't fully understand how those two tie up, if you could explain that. And last question, Chair, why have you got the oversight authority being us at risk as providing significantly lower than required level of assurance? If we are, then that's serious and we need to do something about it. But why is it really? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you. And I apologize for coming late.
Dealing with DVE or are we dealing with the sector? I think that's critical.
is primarily a view on the Department of Basic Education and its entities, not necessarily the sector per se.
Mm.
But we also, at the same time, need to go that if you look at that picture on its own, it can be misleading. You need to create a little bit of context around the provinces to understand it fully. And for me, there was a question in the middle here that captured that quite beautifully. It was the criticism that said, when you start off, you reflect a picture that looks pretty okay.
Mm.
You think you feel comfortable, and that in those first slides where I showed a picture that is predominantly yellow, which is the most you see having a few reds. If you look at that, you tend to feel fairly comfortable. Yellow, just as a reminder, it's not, well, I was going to say it's not green, that's obvious. yellow is the indicator that there is intervention being made. It's different from red. Red would be a situation of, we've identified a problem, nobody's doing anything about it. What we're showing on that page is the department has taken note of its challenges and they're starting to do things. It's by no means perfect yet, but they're working on it. But even that picture may be misleading. You may get the sense that the department is starting to cope with certain functions, but you need to know what's the full-blown outcome of what they do. And one of the things that's in that yellow reflection on page 4 is probably the crux of the whole matter. It sits towards the left-hand side under the column predetermined objectives. You say it stayed the same as last year, although we can see that the department is working quite hard on that. That's their whole area of being able to report on their performance. Now for me, their performance go way beyond just what they do, what they acquire. It's also what they see happening in the rest of the sector.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we already make a comment under that column that if we had to express an opinion on their ability to report, it would have been an adverse opinion. Let me restate what an adverse opinion means. It would be that if we had to comment on the validity, completeness, and accuracy of their performance reporting, we would not agree with what is on the table. That's how strong that statement is. And to give context to that, I would refer you to what we said on that provincial slide, sits towards the end, page 15. If the department's performance management system could cope with the fullest context of what that means for education in South Africa, we would not see a red reflection. That's how strong it is. So it's not a contradiction. I think the honourable member captured it perfectly safe. If you look at the department in isolation, you may be misled by the fact that it looks like the department is reacting well. And they are. And they are starting to put controls in place. But we're not satisfied with the progress, especially when it gets to solicitory reporting. And if we look at the rest that they're in the provinces, we know that that's where the shortcoming is. If there's one single thing, and I think there was a challenge from a couple of the honourable members that said, what's the one focus area for this portfolio committee that needs to be there? It must be on the service delivery report. It's really the area where the most value can be made. We've talked about corruption. Is there any indicators in this report that deals with corruption? Well, yes, the fact that the department can't accurately reflect on performance in its own departmental environment, but also in the broader sector. That's probably the biggest single thing that this committee can try and address. It goes to the comment right towards the end, the strength of what is in those predetermined objectives. And I just want to check in terms of availability of the document. Everybody's got the slides, but there's also a three-pager type of note. Has everybody got a copy of that as well?
No.
I think it is available there. Let me, because I think it deals with the detail that Mr. My apologies, I thought that was hands down in the back. If you look at the detail that sits under our reporting for predetermined objectives and the audit report for basic education, it first of all talks about the fact that we believe the majority of performance indicators are not well defined. Exactly the point that the honourable member made. There's issues that's not necessarily talked about, there's no percentage of achievement. It's not for us to argue about things like if the measure sets pitch at the right level. But if you know, we can't comment about whether 40% or 80% is appropriate. That's probably a policy decision. But if there's no percentage in there or there's no timeline in there, well, it's not measurable, and at least we can highlight that. There's other issues in there. I know I'm sticking on a difficult one, but it's also the sense in some of these indicators. I think the honourable member raised a couple of examples. But if you talk about the critical one, the delivery of textbooks and workbooks, what do we measure? At the moment, what's reported is, does a textbook reach a province, not does a textbook reach the learner. There's a critical difference. And I think that's the place where the portfolio committee can make a difference. When we talk about the predetermined objectives, that really talks to the issue of that. Yes, we've not dealt with the detail of what's in the report. I would invite the members to really have a detailed look at the items that sit under each of the items in the report. It should be in the summary. The biggest findings under that is indicators not well defined, it does not necessarily talk to the issues of what learning should be about, and then the fact that in a lot of instances, even though there was reported performance, the fact that it's not necessarily substantiated. If you talk about the department reporting 40% on a certain area, can you substantiate? Is there substance to the 40%? Well, in a lot of instances, we can't say that. But let me just, for a moment, I don't want to fall in the trap of again mixing sector and department. But I want to take you to this slide, the multi-red one. If you understand that a lot of those reds relates to provincial departments' ability to report on their service delivery, you understand how big the problem is. If a department cannot have a good tag on performance in the education sector, and the information that they need to get is from provinces, the provinces also not got that ability, then we're in a desperate situation. That at any given stage, we may have the most wonderful policies, but we may find ourselves not really having a good grasp on what that means and how well we're doing, whether it is implemented or it's not implemented. You find a situation, for example, in the Eastern Cape that in the previous year they've not even submitted a service delivery report for order. That's absolute negative in terms of what's at hand. I hope that just as an overall clarification of where we're going, let's try and deal with a couple of the more detailed questions. And there was a question up front, my apologies for not clarifying, it was on slide 15, the one that's on the board. What does the grey areas mean there? The grey areas just means that we didn't have any findings. If we didn't have any findings, it's a positive reflection. Didn't have findings, so we could not pick up any errors. We looked at, let's take on the board there, Gauteng, predetermined objectives, which shows a grey. Means that we reviewed what's there in terms of estimates that are reporting. We were satisfied with what we've seen, we had nothing to report. Okay, so a grey or a low finding would be a positive. And the three systems of the element are positive. I've to some degree dealt with the corruption indicators, but I again think we, and this slide is again very appropriate. Lots of reds under PDOs, lots of reds around compliance. Means that we don't have good grasp on service delivery. If we don't have good grasp on service delivery targets, it means that there is no way that we can realistically control the spending of money. Let's say we've got an unqualified view on financial matters. So money is spent within the right rules, but we never know whether we really get value for that money, because our performance reporting does not highlight that. We can have an objective of saying, let's build 15 schools. We can see that the money has in fact been spent. But if we don't have the second portion, the predetermined objective report, we will never know whether those schools have been built and whether they've been built at the right quality and whether they've got all the equipment that we've been able to get in fact. So the two always need to run together. So the first indicator of that potentially can talk about corruption is the fact that financial information is not backed up by good service delivery reporting information. The other part that you see very clearly on there when we talk about compliance findings is read almost throughout. Compliance is no other thing than saying there's rules and there's laws that govern education and these are being ignored. That's all that compliance. we talk about the fact that the department is adverse view on curriculum objectives that we would not agree with what comes out of it. On compliance, there's lots of issues. The first issue under compliance deals with expenditure management. But you're already saying there's lots of question marks about how well they expect. We talked about the basics. I just want to run down to another question on principle. That principle dealt with what we did on page 11 and 12. Page 11 and 12 is our gut feel of what we believe should be done next by the different role players. The text there indicates a challenge to those entities or the department to do certain things. If we've not had a thick metric, something you can, for example, on the first page, find that the third area, identify one of the strengths and weaknesses of the portfolio. We didn't have a tick under emergency, or we believe it's something that the emergency can't done, it's something that needs to be done by the board. So it's just that clarification. The tick mark is not a good or a bad. The tick mark says this entity is challenged to do whatever is on the left hand column. It's a very difficult one, and it deals with those last two slides, the pyramid and the insurance mark. I think there was a question mark around whether and that we got portfolio committees. There or not. I suppose we can argue until the end of the day around that. I buy the point that other side probably sits slightly different, and maybe there's an argument to just separate it a little bit from the pyramid. I think we've really sort of kept it in one block because we believe that portfolio committees is an important partner in making sure that things click over within the sector. And that's the only reason we really brought it in the sector. I suppose in a different way, phrased differently, maybe I need to go back to my pyramid. You need to say that without oversight, accountability will never act. I think it was that argument. It's a question that I hope one of the honourable members would not ask, and that's on that assurance model, the fact you've read, everybody read. I said up front, it's probably a very harsh reflection, but I think it was trying to push the point that if we still see problems in that orange area, none of the other I apologize if I offended anybody on the committee by thinking that they're not doing their jobs, and that's what I'm saying in my little red block. I'm actually saying that as long as the department still talks about vacancies, policies not being in place, being in progress with internal control, regular reporting not happening with ESA, chances that the rest of the role play, whether it is the minister, whether it's the DG, whether it's this committee, can be effective, is fairly remote. People need to insist on the fact that the basics need to happen, otherwise the rest. With all respect, that's all going through the motion, including the number of order process. Under expenditure or low performance, we don't comment directly on it, that's not the purpose of our audit, but you'll find it in this year, in the audit report, under the heading of emphasis on the matter, we would have pointed out if there was serious discrepancies. We believe that there was a huge gap between what was set out to happen and what was actually the effect. We would have pointed it out. Stressfully, we point out, we would say, portfolio committee, whatever user of this report, have a look at the serious discrepancy. But we didn't comment on it. That really sits outside of the audit process at the moment. It is something that we will, over time, catch up on. We do performance auditing, a separate function. We're working on audit at the moment with performance reporting. There may be some reflections on that. But at the moment, I think we just point out the fact that there is those deep discrepancies. There was one more that I wanted to deal with on the budget before I reached to Godfrey. It comes back to the overall role decision. I think there was a very specific and direct question of who monitors what happens at a provincial level. I think we can argue a lot about processes and legislative and spheres of again the acknowledgement. We've showed through the audit output, so it's the audit process issue. We hope that in the next meeting we can brief you in detail about some of those programs that we've outlined. That is a missing portion of the picture at the moment. But at least I hope that we can make that difference between the departments that do fairly well until you start looking at what the intention and the promises, which really then start giving the serious picture that a lot of members are starting to talk. Can I just trust you, if I could give you some more details?
We saw you campaigning with the attempt to implement Section 100B these other principles in the system cable. So I think that can let me walk away. There are challenges with the administration of the problem. This is not a problem where the Unica General can say so and so what this level of administration of the services needs to be accountable for this. This is something that the government, the executive, the cabinet, all portfolio committees, parliamentary committees need to be sitting and deciding on this. It's more of a policy decision, and our mandate as the Auditor General does not allow us to do such a call. So it's a government administrative matter that needs to be arranged and resolved. There was a question also on aid solution. Last year, when we presented the education sector, we reported over 300 million irregular expenditure emanating from the contract that was entered into the aid solution that we bought. The contract was terminated. There is also, I think, a regular expenditure reported on any solution that has been kept after our reporting period last year, but before the contract was terminated with any solution. And obviously, we saw the result of that where books are not delivered as in book of the tender sector report will give a good overview of what actually transpired. Yes, the Commercial Department of Education in Boko was exposed to press publicity on workbooks and books that were found in some river somewhere. I must say that happened subsequently, and so those are subsequent events, but we will touch on that. And they are more relevant to the 12 state information that we those events that occurred okay, after March, but we will talk about them, we won't shy away from them and say for the next year, we will look at the committee on that. We gave clarity on irregular expenditure. There was a question on the 74.8 million and the 8.7 million. I believe I adequately addressed that when I indicated that the department should have been aware of the activities taking place at the service provider that is concentrating for system on the curricular project. There was also a question on whether these entities or management assess the audit findings and take accountability. It is inherent that when audit findings are presented, management will take their chance and say, you know, these are the reasons why we could not comply. They will always be looking for something, but we thank them from the audit office saying, irrespective of the circumstances, that planning does not justify that things should be going wrong and come back after audit efforts and still work in the situation. We stand firm and with the disagreement with management, we agree to disagree and we move forward. With a reasonable explanation, we accept the explanation so management can adapt and correct the financial statements and annual performance reports, we accept it. But this event that cannot be corrected. Once non-compliance occurs, you cannot go to the same something that non-compliance. There's nothing that can be done. It's a regular and we move forward. But then we accept the commitment made by management to ensure that such it has not retained the following year. Where you give them an opportunity to correct, to allow them to correct. There was a question on whether, on the sector focus areas, whether any provinces are doing well. Looking at, even though we're not presenting the report now, looking at the nature of the findings that are coming from the provinces, it is always true that the provinces, all of them are not doing well. It could be that maybe one province is doing well on infrastructure, I'm just giving an example. But the other province is not doing well in infrastructure, it's doing bad on maybe school nutrition. But looking at all the sector focus areas, all provinces are not doing well, and we would prefer to report on the sector focus areas, not the province, but as a county, saying, as a county, this is where they have selected areas for service delivery on education, and that's all the countries are not doing well. But when we plan the sector focus areas, we will just indicate to the committee the nature of findings that are identified from all the provinces. Jan touched on most of the questions that were asked by the committee chair, and I believe that we addressed basically all the questions that were asked.
Chief, I think you've got the particular question at the end, which is a difficult one, the something one, but it's an important one. I think people sometimes can attach the wrong meaning to us saying we need all the something. Yes, by all means, we're not looking at everything, It is a strong fullback. There's also something that when it gets scientific, it's got to be strong, it's got to be representative enough to actually form a defense. So representative enough means that we need to take into account our role as defense. It's got to touch all time periods, it's got to touch all programs, etc. But the important one is that the focus is going to be in the sample on areas where there's risk. And it's going to be in areas where the majority of money flows. I think you asked the question on something specifically in the context of service delivery reporting. If we have got 5 or 6 or 7 programs to pick from, and we can realistically, let's say, afford to do 2 or 3, it would be the 2 or 3 where the biggest money flows, or where the biggest risk. Normally those two are related. So I think if you look at some of the fine things, the detailed documents that we handed out, where we talk about indicators not being relevant, etc., it's the big money programs and it's the risky programs. That would always inform our sampling process.
I think
that's
the
biggest
aspect that should be by the end of December, but still proper. So just answer.
Thank you, Chair. Sector reports is really something that's at the mercy of information flow from our provinces. As you can see from the provinces, all is wrapped up, all the base reports, outcome information reworked. There's a question of that information flowing to us. We should be in a situation to finalize the first draft that we can have a look at within this week. So we should be in a situation by the end of October to have this fully wrapped up and ready for the committee to interact.
Thanks a lot for that. When it comes to our audit, as we know, that it is in the council base of education and other departments, they are currently functioning. But I am of the opinion, and I'm sure the other members are of the opinion too, that if money is given to a province, department actions must not and oversight that province. Because even if it's put for shame, it's money given. And when it comes to education, it's an apex government. And I think therefore we had the workshop in Mountain Valley where we were a bit successful, but not totally successful. Because you can see when it comes to the conditional grant that Treasury runs the department to oversight the provinces. So I think that's really important. And then I'm not sure. Could you order the best just before we stop to answer this question? I think there's something like the work study building the department. Is it the correct thing that we have at national a work study plan? In the work study plan, the department is saying what are they going to do for the financial year. And if they do not complete that work in the financial year, so because that they tell the public, they have to go back to the public to indicate that we can't, why we couldn't do it. Just to see that it is easy to answer that.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, correctly, the department has something like that.
But why do they call it more than
that? I like community.
Into the annual. So I have to go to the public to speak to the annual performance plan. Or should we just oversight something?
I believe it's their responsibility, or it would be ideal that the committee also encourages the committee and freedom put, you as well as put up communicated, whatever is reported as being achieved on that commercial performance, if it has been achieved and can be verifiable.
As well, just of interest to go to the department to have an annual performance plan. But we'll take it further as we go along as a committee. Because we hear about the monthly report. Because the improvements that they call the annual monitoring. You know, it is 15 times a month, and report that. So we'll keep the department accountable to that, and I think we'll ask the department to, as we go along, to speak with and then also check on the annual performance plan where the department is on target. I think that will be important. What I would like to say to the committee first before I do the thing, that for your beautiful article, study this report of the Auditor General. Study this, the report the General gave us. And then also look at the management report. I think that is important. And then I think what you should look at to is the audit committee. Because you spoke to that extensively. You know, whether it's being up to or whether it's in the department, because it is covered in the annual report. And I think what will be important too is look at the HR plan. Because you say you spoke to leave. And I'm sure we can look at sick leave and leave taken, etc. And I think what is important to you that you spoke to will be this. You know, when it comes to promises, the loan, and when it comes to staff, to get back to. Because that will be your HR section of the report. And look at the agency report within that annual report of the department. And our entity. I'd like to thank the AG's office for the report that you gave us. And we look forward to seeing the victim report. Just to see what's in that mean, what's in our entity. And I think what is important is that we have to see how we see our department come up. Because a lot was taking this meeting. And as we go along, like we spoke to the department on meetings we had, our recommendations, but you know, it's going slow. Because if the department can carry out the recommendations, then I think we'll be on the point with what the general wants the department to do. Because first and look at that plan to maintain your foundation, there's so much to be desired. A lot to be desired. And I'm glad that you did a cross-command that we can ask them, deeper questions than what is being done at the moment. I thank you for the report. Thank you. And I thank the committee for being present until now, because we know we are clashing at the moment with higher education. And I think what will be important too is that the agency should come up just to guide us, you know, on what changes there should be in legislation when it comes to education. And I think you come with a sectoral report that you can speak to that part. Then we know what rules, the department should, what amendments the department should bring to us. Thanks a lot, members, honorable members, and then the actual council. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. क्या बोले ना।